I'm also a visitor here, but we give everyone a warm welcome. Thank you for being here. Now, I don't listen to my wife. That's what she tells me. But tonight I am. She always says when you preach the gospel, make it simple. I guess that's good advice. And I was just told, keep it short. Okay, we'll try. Well, what I would really like to do is make it sweet for you. Make this something that you can appreciate. We're going to read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read words that the Apostle Paul wrote to people that lived in the city of Corinth. And fortunately, he is writing to correct some issues in this city, but we're going to just very simply try to convey the message of the gospel to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll begin at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen." I'm just going to notice a few of these words with you that we have just read. Likely you've noticed from verse 1, "I declare unto you the gospel." It's not really a word that is so common the day that we live in. What is the gospel? Is the gospel a religion? Is the gospel a church? Well, you'll note that from this verse that we have read, Paul says, "I declare, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." So the gospel is not a church and it is not a religion. It is actually a message. And the word itself, gospel, means simply this: it is good news. Now, we live in a day and age where very seldom do we hear good news. Most of the news that we hear is bad news, but when we come to this book, what we're going to find is that there is good news, that there is a message that is good, and a message that is relevant to each and every one of us that are here tonight. The other night when Ken called, my phone said potential spam, so I hung up on him. Because there are many messages that we don't have any interest in. There's spam email and spam texts, and there are things that we do not have any interest in. But when it comes to the message of the gospel, it's a very relevant message. It is a message for each and every one of us. Because you and I are facing two great problems. I'll tell you from the very beginning, the problem that you and I face is a problem of our sin. And each and every one of us are facing death. And those are two things that we read about in these verses. I hope you understand this, and I am not speaking down to you, speaker included. You and I have a tremendous problem. It's a problem of our sin. I know that there are social issues. There are conflicts and wars in this world. But you know the greatest problem of this world and the greatest problem in each and every one of our lives is our sin that we have committed against God. That sin affects us right now in our life. Our sin separates us from our Creator right now. But not just for time. Our sin will separate us from God for eternity. And I know that that is not a popular message, because people want to hear about a God that is love and a God that will allow anything. But someone recently said it like this: you have a mother who tells her children with the dirty feet, "Don't come in here." She doesn't tell her child that because she doesn't love them. It's a problem of the filth that they carry on their feet that she doesn't want inside the house. In very much the same way that is a God of heaven. What is the reason that there is so much sorrow in this world? Why is there sickness? Why are there broken hearts? Why is there so much violence? Friend, that isn't something that God brought into this world That is something that sin brings into this world. And it affects all of us. It affects us physically, yes. But more than that, it affects us spiritually. It has robbed us of the meaning of life. It has separated us from the God that satisfies us. The only God that can truly give us purpose and meaning in life. So the Apostle Paul tells us that this is a message that is relevant to all of us because the Bible tells us that all have sinned. All of us have sinned. We're all like sheep that have wandered far away from God. We have turned our back against God. And not only that, you and I are facing the problem of death, and we're going to notice that in a moment. But when it comes to the message of the gospel, I would just point this out very simply to you. As Paul begins here, down in verse 3, really what is the center and what is the theme of the gospel is this, how that Christ died for our sins. So again, we're not here to speak to you about church. We're not here to speak to you about religion. But really we want to speak to you about a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it is worth just taking time because even in the society that we live in, who is this Christ? It's a name that is often used as a swear word, but do we know who he is? Why is he so important? Well, the Bible tells us that he is God's Son. He is God's Son. He is the creator of this world that we live in. He is the very reason of our being and our existence. The Bible tells us all things were made by Him. But the Bible also tells us this, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So someone who has come from the very heights of heaven has come into this world. The story of Bethlehem, friend, is a wonderful story. That God would take upon Himself humanity. But we need to notice how the verse goes on. It says that Christ died. Christ died. You might say this is not a very appealing story. To come here to hear about a man that died. And actually for the Corinthians and others in Greece, that was a very strange message to them. Especially when you consider what Paul says in chapter 1 about a man that died on a cross. You see, a cross is where criminals were executed. It was a public display to all that might think about breaking the laws of Rome. It is a place where criminals were executed. But Paul comes into the city of Corinth and he begins to speak about a man who died on a cross. Well, what did that have to do with the people of Corinth? Well, the people of Corinth had the same problem that you and I have. The people of Corinth had the problem of sin. The Apostle Paul told them that God made it plain that those that live in sin and practice sin will never inherit the kingdom of God. And they discover the awfulness of their sin before God. But the answer is this, how Christ died for our sins. Christ came into the world as a teacher, yes. Christ came into the world and performed many miracles, yes. But the focus of the message of the gospel is this, is that Christ died for our sins. We have all sinned against God. Here is a man that never sinned. A man that was absolutely pure and pleasing to the God that sent him into the world. So it begs the question, why then would he die? Why would he die? But why would he die on a criminal's cross? Well, the very same text tells us that Christ died for our sins. Very simply, you and I deserve. This is something that I came to understand as a boy of 15 years of age, that I had sinned against God. That my sin actually deserved the punishment of God. I had offended Him. I had offended the one that gave me life. I had done the things that displeased Him. But then to appreciate this, that is exactly why Christ died. He died to deal with the issue of sin. The Bible tells us very clearly that God sent His Son into this world to be the Savior of the world. I tell you, friend, He created the world with a spoken word. And He performed many miraculous things with a word or with a touch. But when it comes to the issue of sin, it wasn't going to be taken away by a word. It could only be dealt with and taken away by a death. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This tragedy is this, is that there are many people that think that they can do something with their life or in their life to take their sins away. But here is the only perfect man that ever lived. And the life of a perfect man could never take away sin. It was the death of the perfect man. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Friend, please understand, this is not something that we have invented here, something that I have brought from Wisconsin. This is something that has authority because it's based on God's own Word. That Christ died for our sins. How do we know that? It's because the Word of God tells us. We had the time we could expound on this more. But friend, God's plan of salvation has ever only been one single plan. Thousands of religions in this world, but you know, God has only had one plan. There's never been a plan B. It's always been this plan. And the Scriptures tell us that even thousands of years before the Lord Jesus comes into this world, what do the Scriptures say? It speaks about a man who was wounded for our transgressions. A man who would be bruised for our wickedness. A man who suffered that we might have peace with God. And someone who suffered an awful stroke of God's judgment that you and I might be healed. It is the Word of God that tells us, this is a message that comes from God Himself. That Christ His Son died on a cross, not as an accident, but as a sinless substitute for our sins. Peter says Christ also has once suffered for sins. The one who was just on behalf of the unjust. The one who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. This is the good news. That those of us that are guilty and deserving of God's wrath can know our sins completely taken away. So that we never have to stand before God and hear those words, "Depart from me eternally." Because Christ, through His suffering, through His death, has dealt with the issue of sin. But that isn't the end of the message. Paul says there's an issue with some that are preaching a partial message. There is a false message that doesn't come from God. And it isn't based on the Scriptures. But the message in its entirety is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. And He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, we point backwards to a man that suffered on Calvary awful sorrow and shame. Having been beaten, having been spit upon. Having been crowned with thorns and mockery. And then going outside of the city, bearing a cross that He would be nailed to. That the Lord Jesus would suffer all of that. The Bible tells us after He had made one sacrifice for sins, that is what happened at Calvary. As He would suffer, as He would voluntarily lay down His life. But the Bible tells us this. That He rose again the third day from the grave. We point backwards to the cross and what happened there. Well, we would also point you heavenward this evening. Because there is a man that is very much alive. A man that has dealt with the problem of sin by suffering for it Himself. The man who willingly gave His life entering into death. And after 3 days, God raised Him from among the dead. Friend, we point to the cross. We point to Christ who was on the cross. But He is not in the cross today and He is not in the tomb tonight. He is seated in heaven and He is a living man that is able to save sinners. The Bible says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we emphasize the cross. But friends, someone who is in a tomb cannot save you or me. But I thank God for the one that could say, I was dead and I am alive. I have the keys of death and of hell. And the issues that we face of sin, He has dealt with. And the death that you and I face is not something to be feared anymore. Because He is the one, as this chapter tells us, who will put an end ultimately to death altogether. Is there anyone else like Him? Is there anyone else that can take away sin? The Bible tells us there's no one else. Is there anyone else that has conquered death? Of all the multitudes of religions in this world, the Bible tells us that there is only one living Savior. But I have to end, but I want to just convey something else to you. Because twice over we have read here, Paul says this is a message that is preached. It's a message that has to do with Christ, God's Son, and what He did in His sacrifice on a cross. And not only dying, but being raised again, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. But the Bible also tells us this is the message that was received. Paul preached in Corinth. And there were people that thought it was a great joke, just like in Athens. But there were other people that understood, I have sinned against God. And if there is someone that is willing and able to take away my sin, they receive the message for themselves. That's exactly what we have. Not only the Corinthians, but Paul himself. Because he was the one that actually wrote those words. And Dan is going to tell us more. He discovered that I am the greatest of sinners. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Is it any wonder that he said it's a message that is worthy that all would receive it? You see, you and I have been diagnosed with an awful disease. But thank God there is a remedy in the person of Christ. But it isn't enough that Christ is the Savior of the world. And it isn't enough that Christ is the Savior of sinners. It's only when you apply it to your own life. When you take it for yourself. When you receive for yourself what is being offered, that I am the sinner that is guilty, but He died for me. What a wonderful message. This is a message of the gospel. It is good news for sinners. It comes from God Himself. It's based on Holy Scriptures. It is a complete message. There is nothing lacking. Nothing needs to be added. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And because of that, you can know your sins forgiven and no longer have the fear of death. Are you willing to trust Him, to take Him for yourself? My God, help you this very evening.